This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is now 6:10 and we are moving on to a discussion on loan moratoriums, really, because with Malaysians struggling under the MCO 2.0, calls to extend the loan moratorium has actually been coming from a lot of parties. In this case, it would actually be to reinstate, because currently we are in a phase of voluntary moratoriums from the banks. But we also wanted to look at whether this is something that's feasible. Is it something that the government can do, given our current economic status?
Yeah, so very important to draw the barrier here, right, between extending the blanket loan moratorium as opposed to the targeted voluntary one that has been ongoing ever since the blanket moratorium ended. So it's something that many Malaysians within MCO 2.0 who have been harder hit by this have been calling for. The story itself comes from the Malaysian Insight. And I think fundamentally, what we're hearing, or what the stories in that article suggested, was that even with the loan restructuring plans that are being offered, for many people are not finding it enough to financially sustain their families, to financially sustain their lives, basically. And some of the other government programs that are offered, such as the EPF withdrawal schemes, also might not be adequate, especially for people who don't have EPF, who may have been working different kinds of jobs, you know, in the same way that we've been seeing and talking about.
So some of those people who have been calling for the reinstatement of this automatic loan moratorium include 25 opposition MPs who last month urged the government to do this so as to help businesses as well as individuals sort of weather this economic storm. The Federation of Malaysian Consumers Association, or FOMCA, also asked Bank Negara to extend the moratorium until year end, actually. However, Bank Negara has recently said that the automatic moratorium on loans won't be in the best interest of the country's economy or of its people, because they say that it will actually erode the bank's buffer and make it difficult for individuals and businesses to get new loans, which is a concern that they brought up, even way back when the first moratorium was introduced.
Yeah, and I think for me, I have noticed that many people have been harder hit financially during MCO 2.0. And I don't feel that it's even appropriate to give examples. You could say business owners or micro business owners or gig workers. But the truth is that it's across the board, because for a lot of people, there wasn't enough time to recover during the RMCO. You know, there wasn't enough time to regain any sort of buffer. Very often, if you had faced a pay cut or a job loss, you may not necessarily have found one again or had your pay reinstated by the time that MCO 2.0 came around and knocked us all for a loop again. And so while the government has consistently emphasized that MCO 2.0 was not meant to impact the economy, that in fact all measures were taken to try and safeguard the economy as far as possible, I think that it's impossible to help the sentiment of how people felt knowing that the MCO was going to be reinstated. And that led to a lot of conservatism, financial conservatism, and that trickles down to workers, that trickles down to employees. So with that in mind, I'm not surprised that even though it feels a little bit like Groundhog Day, because we've been talking about loan moratoriums for months now, I'm not surprised that there's a strong and consistent call for a return to some form of blanket or automatic moratorium, because it is tough.
Yeah, and even anecdotally, I've heard so many people tell me how the moratorium was the only way they could manage with their house loans or with their car loans, just not having to think about that for a particular period of time. But let us know, have you been hit financially during the MCO 2.0? Has the loan moratorium helped you in the last 1 year? Do you think it should be extended? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking to Lawrence Todd, who is the Director of Research and Development at the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:16, and this is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We're talking about calls to extend the loan moratorium and whether this is something that financially the country can offer to do for us as we weather the storms of MCO 2.0. So we want to know, have you been hit financially during the MCO? Has the loan moratorium helped you? Do you think that it should be extended? You can call us, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now over Zoom is Lawrence Todd, who is the Director of Research and Development at IDEAS, or the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs. Thanks for joining us, Lawrence.
Thanks for having me.
So, simply put, do you think that the government should extend the blanket loan moratorium?
Well, I'm afraid I'm not going to give you as straight an answer probably as you would like. I would say that it's, you know, it's not my preferred policy tool to deal with the problems. I think that I would certainly favor more direct fiscal support rather than loan moratoriums as a general rule. And I personally feel that the government has more capacity to provide further fiscal support at this time. So that's something I'm happy to elaborate on. But in light of the fact that the government does not seem to wish to pursue further fiscal support, then I do recognise that, you know, the loan moratorium can be a vital safety valve for people who are under really acute financial strain, particularly with housing loans and so on. Under certain conditions, I think that it's the best of a set of bad options. Let's say if further fiscal support is off the table.
Out of curiosity, Lawrence, I mean, when it comes to that direct cash aid, I think based on what we've seen in the past, the amounts tend to be smaller. I'm not saying that they're not substantial, but I think if we look at the kinds of loans that people often take out, whether it's for housing, whether it's for vehicles, the payments go into the thousands, right? And that's sometimes why that burden is so heavy. And so I'm wondering whether or not doing both would make sense, either that or how large would that cash aid need to be in order to account for these loans?
Well, I think that's a very, very fair point. And as you say, I mean, the reality of the scale of fiscal support that can be provided is perhaps just not enough. And I think, you know, in an ideal world, I think we would be in a situation where our public finances were broader and more stable and were therefore able, we had more fiscal capacity. I think, you know, looking across the different stimulus packages that we've had, non-fiscal measures have been a big bulk of Malaysia's response when compared to other countries that have, you know, a more fiscal muscle. You know, as we know, the tax base in Malaysia is quite limited and that has, you know, constrains the government's options. But I think, you know, just to sort of highlight why the loan moratorium can be problematic is that, of course, you're deferring rather than removing pain. And I think the concern is, what risks are we storing up for the future? So, I mean, I think looking across the packages, if we've got maybe 100 billion or more in deferred costs, right? These are costs that are going to fall maybe later this year or early next year in the period where we're trying to ensure the economy can recover. So I worry about that. And that's why I think the loan moratorium per se is not a silver bullet, but if, as you rightly point out, our fiscal options are very limited, then if the situation is really dire in particular circumstances, then I do think it's the right lever to pull.
So, not to put too fine a point on it, but can the banks actually afford another moratorium right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, that's an important question to ask. I think ultimately it's a question of risk. So in absolute terms, I think they can afford it. You know, we see that the banks are, you know, by and large, still in profit. I haven't gone through all their balance sheets, but I think they're still in profit. So in a sort of straight factual yes, no sense, they can literally afford it. It's a question of risk. So I think what are you doing to the financial system in various ways? So firstly, you're actually increasing personal debt, and that's a concern for the financial system, particularly in the case of Malaysia, where personal debt is already quite high. You are straining bank balance sheets, and even if they can afford it in the short term, what does that store up for them in the longer term? And having a financial crisis or a breakdown of the financial system on the back of the pandemic, and while we're trying to have the recovery, would be a big challenge. And also not just in terms of the sort of personal debt of individual bank customers, but actually what it does for their longer term credit rating, their longer term loan worthiness, and making sure that we don't sort of store up distortion. So I think those are the reasons why, indeed, you know, Bank Negara is quite concerned about the overuse of the loan moratorium. And I think there's a bit of this sort of passing of the buck, right? I mean, on the one hand, there's pressure on government to provide more fiscal support, and then they can't do it, and then that increases the pressure for the loan moratorium. So, you know, I think we have to recognize the risks and benefits of individual policy levers and then put that in its proper context, which is why I would sort of keep coming back to me, I think the pressure should be more on additional fiscal support. And I think that's where I would focus my pressure. But if that really is a closed door, or as was being said, you know, is not sufficient, then that's where I do think further extension of the loan moratorium can come in. But I do certainly see that it does have quite significant risks downstream.
So one of the options that's currently offered is a loan restructuring program. How effective would you say these are?
I think in some ways that's preferable because it enables it. It's less of a. It can be more tailored to the individual circumstances, right? So I think that generally is going to be a better option. That being said, the details do matter. So I think it's concerning to me because loan restructuring is something that's normally employed when people are really in dire financial straits. And of course, as you were saying, people are really in dire financial straits, but not because of their own financial mismanagement, but because of, you know, external factors and, you know, decisions that we're taking as a society to contain the pandemic. So what I would be very concerned about is any long-term impact on individuals' credit rating, their ability to get loans in the future, which are often can be one of the impacts of going through loan restructuring. So I think in terms of being personalized to individual circumstances, loan restructuring is preferable, but I certainly hope that it won't have long-term consequences for those customers that do go into those arrangements. So that's something I think that we need to be wary of, but in general, I would think that is a good path to go down.
What about the idea of a more targeted automatic loan moratorium, which is also something that's been pitched? Would this work better? And what would we have to have in place for it to work?
Okay, so I think, you know, in the idea of there's sort of two key concepts that you use there. On the one hand, automatic, and on the one hand, targeted. So I think those are the two policy trade-offs. So we either have an automatic, the benefit from moving from automatic to voluntary is you get sort of organic targeting, right? Because customers and the banks will need to negotiate where the moratorium is applied, and therefore it'll go where the need is greatest in theory. So the idea of switching from an automatic moratorium is that you organically achieve that level of targeting. Because if we have automatic but targeted, it's then a decision of who gets it and who doesn't that gets taken centrally. So my concern with automatic targeting is who's deciding on who gets targeted, and is there still a mechanism for people outside of the target to get it? So I think that's a difficult trade-off to make. In terms of the general, you mentioned sort of what mechanisms need to be put in place. I think when we look at the whole suite of policies that have been put in place to support businesses over the last 12 months, one of the challenges that we've seen is that the government has to essentially pass the responsibility for implementing these decisions to other agencies, in this case, the banks themselves, right? And when you speak to SMEs, they report challenges with that, with banks using different standards or different criteria in different cases, and there being some maybe lack of consistency across different banks or between the banks and the government. So I think that's where we've learned the lesson of our government's kind of limited capacity to actually distribute aid in different ways. And has been forced to rely, therefore, on these sort of non-traditional or non-state mechanisms, like, for example, working through the banks in the case of the loan moratorium. So I think that from my perspective, I generally think on balance, it's better not to have an automatic targeting and to allow, therefore, for some form of demand expression so that people who most need it are able to get it, but it's not automatic. So I think that's probably right, but we have to be continually vigilant about the breakdown in that implementation and where gaps might emerge, and be ready to sort of flex the criteria to make it more or less generous to ensure we're reaching the people that really need it.
Lawrence, in closing, you began really by saying that a automatic or a blanket loan moratoriums in general, perhaps not your preferred policy tool to deal with the financial struggles we're seeing. We spoke briefly about direct aid, direct cash aid. So just to close off, in summary, what would you prefer to see? What in an ideal world would that look like?
So I think that what I would prefer to see is direct fiscal transfers. So I think increasing the aid directly to households. So there have been various tools we've used to do that, such as the BPN schemes and so on. So I think those have been really crucial, and I would support an expansion of that. I think in terms of support to businesses, I think that of course the wage subsidy has been the main tool. And I think that could be expanded. And if we want to think about making sure that we don't maybe have too much fiscal expense now that doesn't get paid back, what I would like to see is then a fiscal transfer that can be it can be treated as a loan that gets written down against, say, investment in digitalization. So we have money that's transferred now, but that can be some of which is paid back, but you don't have to pay it back if you invest in certain things. So I think trying to tie, so I would increase the fiscal expenditure, but I would try to tie more of it to the adaptation we want to see businesses undertake to be more resilient in the future. So sorry, it's a little bit technical, but I think that type of approach to me is better because it both deals with the problem now, but also tries to target increasing resilience for the future. Whereas the risk with the loan moratorium is it gets you out of the immediate problem, but actually stores up that debt in the future for when we're trying to recover.
Lawrence, thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Lawrence Todd, Director of Research and Development at IDEAS, or the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, just talking to us about his thoughts on calls for the extension of the loan moratorium, the automatic blanket loan moratorium, rather. But we want to know whether you found MCO 2.0 tougher from a financial point of view. Has the loan moratorium helped you? And do you think it should be extended? Or what other forms of aid would be most helpful for you? You can let us know. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.